In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, I believe Paul is thinking on this. Paul was a very compassionate preacher. He always lift the roof off of the church and look down at inside the church, as he does our church, I believe, too, and our individual lives, and see what kind of person we really are. And so he's looking down here, and he's thinking about these Corinthians here, I believe, and he's going to be talking to them about, I believe, the thought on his mind would be this: keep living with one eye on eternity. You're not going to be here that long. There's a lot of young people in here. Obviously, I pray that you'll be here a long time. I'm 86 years old. I thank the Lord for all the years and the blessings he's given me. But I'm close to going home to be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He's thinking on this, I'm sure. As he's thinking of the churches and writing the letters to them, he's thinking, I want to give them something to realize that they need to just keep on living, because more beyond. The word more beyond is ultra, plus ultra. It's a Spanish term that means more beyond. Christopher Columbus, when he went to visit the New World, they thought the world was flat at that time. And they just assumed that Christopher Columbus, when he took off, that was going to be the end of it. He was going to go off the earth, and that would be the end of everything. But in a few months, he came back. And after he came back, he told them the story of the beautiful land in the Americas and how wonderful it was. They had a coin that said nigh ultra, which means there's nothing beyond. But after he gave a speech and telling about the great country that he had seen, he said, plus ultra. It meant so much to the people in Spain that they changed the name on their coin to plus ultra. My friends, there's more beyond what we have right here. Thank God he's helping us as we go through life. He's going to give us something in this passage of scripture. I believe that'll help every one of us. We need to keep living with one eye on eternity. Look what it says I actually want to read chapter 4 a little bit in verse number 18. I'm not going to read a lot here. But it says, while we look at not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If you're a Christian tonight, that's where you're going to spend it. Amen. You're going to spend all your life in eternity. And so we need to keep an eye a little bit on what that is. That'll give you comfort when things don't go very good for you. By focusing your life on the scriptures and understanding what God's word has to say will help you get through the difficult and hard times in life. But he says in chapter 5, verse number 1, for we know, that's an absolute, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, talking about our body now, this earthly house that I'm living in right now, were dissolved, done away, put away, canceled, as my wife's was on December 7th. And house not made, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I want to give you just a couple of truths here tonight before I finish here. Number one, change is coming. We got a promise of a new life. You young people, change is coming. One day, Lord willing, you're going to look just like I am. Maybe better, I hope. But we're all going to grow old. Change is going to come. But thank God we got a promise of a new life, an eternal life that will never fade away. And we can look forward to that one day, understanding that I'm going to keep on living for God, but I'm going to keep one eye on eternity. I think that'll be a blessing to you as you go through life and stumble. I figured on this Wednesday night, with the kids all being dismissed to their special clubs and things like that, I thought I'd be talking to the old timers in here. I've preached in the Glory Days class, and I see the people somewhat like me. Probably I'm probably the worst one in the whole group, but I see people like me. They're hurting, going through things. I talked to Brother John the other day about our prayer sheet. I says, I can hardly get through the prayer sheet anymore. I really don't understand all of the problems that people have, but I notice there's a lot of problems there. Cancer, all these different things that are going on. There's a lot of struggles in life. And so he's going to be talking about that in this passage of Scripture. In verse number 2, he says, for this we groan. What's he groaning about? He's groaning about the things of life. As you get older, there's going to be a lot of things happen to you, young people. Even some young people go through some problems. But thank God we got a God that loves us, that died for us on the cross, and that can help us through our difficulties in life. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. He says, for this we groan, earnestly desiring. That word means a pining for. Paul at his age was in this dungeon prison. Now he's pining for a new body. He's anxious to be with the Lord. He has served him well. He did all he could for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's what we all should do. Amen. Do our best for him no matter what the circumstances of life are. You just keep on living for him and going for him, and God will bless your life in a mighty way. For he says, we earnestly desire to be closed upon with our house from heaven, our body from heaven, he's talking about. If so be that being closed, that means prepared, we shall not be found naked or unprepared. You know, when we meet the Lord one day, we need to be prepared. That meeting is going to happen. It can happen at any age, by the way. Doesn't have to wait till an old guy like me. It can happen to young people in here, and I've seen it through my life, even little babies. And it says, for in this tabernacle we do groan, being burdened. Aren't we burdened at times? Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. What's he saying here? Our life ought to be swallowed up in victory. Amen. We got a lot to look forward to. Thank God, what a Savior we have. What a heaven we got to look forward to. What a new body we're going to have one day. But until then, we've got to go through life. And it can be difficult at times, but thank God he's always with us every step of the way. The next thing I see in this passage of Scripture, not only is there a promise of a new body, there's the pledge of the Holy Spirit. I hope you know that. The moment you got saved, you got something special. You got that precious Holy Spirit within you that can guide and direct, comfort, and get all things done that you need to get done in your life. Amen. We don't lean on him enough. And sometimes we say, I'm going to handle this myself. But my friend, the best advice that you can have is listen to the great commander that's inside of you. He'll tell you what to look at, what to see, what not to look at. Just be with him and he'll help you through life. He says, now he that has wrought for us the same thing as God, means the promise of a new body, who has also given us the earnest, a down payment of the Spirit. Thank God he has something prepared for us. He's given that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God can give you the attributes of God that can be demonstrated in and through your life so that others might see Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. That's what we're here for. We're not here to gain any special recognition, any special position or anything like that. On a scale of 1 to 1 million, God is 1 million. I am zero. Always remember that. Don't think that we're anything, because when you think you're something, you're going to lose harmony with others around you because they don't want to be around a know-it-all. Thank God we need more less of alls, and I think you were talking about it in your message there. So he says a couple of things here. So what are we going to do? We have this commander-in-chief inside us, called alongside to help, our paraclete, the Bible says. So we need to understand there's at least three things here that I see that he can help you with. Number one, you can be always confident. You can be always confident of the Scriptures. Look what he says in verses number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So we can be always confident in the Scriptures. I hope you know there's no mistakes in the Word of God. I hope you try to model your life and live your life according to the precious Word of God. If you do, with the Holy Spirit's help, you'll have less problems in life. You'll have less situations happen to you in life. God wants the best for our life. And so even for young people here, get in the book. Understand what God's mind is on everything, and he can help you through life. Let's keep living with one eye on eternity. Amen. Number two, we can be always courageous. He says, I'm willing rather, in the next verse there, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Of course, we understand that. We're going through this world by faith. But thank God we got the blueprint to live life. We got the Bible. Amen. Thank God the Bible is our blueprint for life. I hope you're reading the Bible. If you're not reading the Bible, you're losing contact with God. The Holy Spirit can't lead you anymore. You won't get the help you need in the times when you need it. Thank God the Holy Spirit can help us in our life if we get in the book, understand the scriptures, and meditate on those things that God would have for us. That's why a good daily Bible reading consistently, God will bring up things to you. I really believe he's done that to me over and over and over again. But in verse number 8, he says, we are confident, and I say, here's the word, willing rather. What he meant by that, he says, I'm ready. Are you ready to go home to be with the Lord? Oh, yeah, he's got a new body for you, but are you ready to go home to be with the Lord? We're living our lives right now for a time to come. One day we're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look him right in the eye, and he's going to tell us the defects and defaults and the deficiencies of our life. And so we need to understand the way we are living now is going to position us for glory and honor and rewards and everything in heaven. We're going to cast that all at his feet. But I believe it also means that we're going to have a job to do. We're not just to be sitting around in an easy chair in heaven with nothing to do. I believe we're going to have a big job to do. But look what he says in verse number 9. He says, wherefore we labor. That's the third. So we can be always confident, always courageous, and always on call to duty. Are you ready to be called? When Pastor called me, I said, Pastor, I'm ready anytime. I thank the Lord. I wasn't ready for this. I had been studying Corinthians a little bit, going through my Bible study and stuff. But I just stopped right there. And this more applies to me than probably does you. But I thank the Lord. I'm going to keep on living as long as the Lord allows me. But I'm going to keep one eye in eternity, because that's my eternal home. I'm going to get a new body. It won't be defective as this one is. But thank God he has something special for every one of us here in this room. If we just realize what a God we serve. We can be always on duty. He uses the word labor there. We can labor. All of us can do something from God. From the youngest all the way up to the eldest in here, we can do something for God. When there's an opportunity, a door to be open the door and try to go through it. If it's not God's will for you, he'll close the doors. But we need to understand that God does have a plan for our life, and understand he wants to help us and evaluate us in our life. I was talking to Mark and Terry at dinner on Sunday. They were talking business, as they normally are always talking business. But I heard them talking this and talking. I says, you're talking about ROI. That means return on investment. Because I've been in the business myself. I know what they're kind of talking about. I've got big ears, so I'm listening in to the conversation. So, return on investment. What's going to be your return on investment? God's invested a lot into us, hasn't he? Thank God he saved us. Thank God he's given us a talent. He's given us treasures. He's given us time. Well, he's investing. What's going to be the return on his investment to you? That's the next part of this. Number three, there's going to be a checkup day in heaven. Our product, his product, is going to be evaluated. Look what it says in verse number 10. For we must all appear. It's not going to be anybody absent from this. You're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to give an account of your life, whether it was good or bad, it says here. The bad will be burned up, of course, as wood, hay, and stubble, as it says in Corinthians 3, I think. But we need to understand, what is he going to get from us in our lifetime? What's he going to be able to do for our life. I put in my notes here, and trying to understand this would be this. The person you are today will be determined your rewards and responsibilities in eternity. I believe the life we're living today is preparing us for the time to come. Thank God, heaven for us Christians is our final home, and we're going to be there forever. But we're not going to be sitting around. God's have a job for us to do, and the return on his investment is going to depend on what he does with you in eternity. I want God to use me. I want God to use me now, and I want him to use me in eternity. So I'm going to keep living with one eye on eternity and thank God for the life he's given me and the wherewithal to just keep on keeping on for the Lord. I want to share one passage of scripture with you, and I shared this. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. I want to share this one verse with you in closing, preacher. But it sort of says in 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Give just a minute to find it, because this is so important. This is talking about what am I going to do now? What can I do until that day I get that new body? I've got the pledge of the Holy Spirit on my life. I'm going to be evaluated one day, but preacher, what can I do right now? He explains that in verses 11 and 12. I want you to circle these words. He says, wherefore we, circle the word pray, always. Always be praying. Get up in the morning. I mean, at my age, I pray for everything. Lord, get me to the kitchen and help me remember what I went in there for. Amen. That's where I'm at. But we need to pray always. Amen. The second thing we need to do is be counted worthy. He says that our God would count you worthy of his calling. He's called us for something special. He has a plan for our life. Do you believe that or not? He has a plan for all of our lives. And let's accomplish that plan that he has for our life. You see, I don't know what it is. Well, get along with God. Ask God, what would you have me to do? As the Apostle Paul did on the Damascus Road. His statement was, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And from that point on in his life, he never got his eye off of eternity and never stopped living and working for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to pray always. We need to be counted worthy. And then number three, he says, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. God wants to use us. He's got a plan for your life. So fulfill that plan. Make sure you're doing everything God's got you here on this earth to do. We're going to miss things at times. We're not going to go through doors we ought to have went through. But thank God, starting tonight, whatever God plans for your life, fulfill that responsibility. Open that door, go through it, and see what God has in store for you. And then lastly, he says in verse number 12, that the Lord of Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and that ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to pray always. We need to be counted worthy in our life. We need to fulfill God's plan for our life. But above everything else, whatever you do, give all the glory to God. We deserve nothing. But God deserves everything. Remember those four principles in your life, and you'll be able to live your life with one eye on eternity. Lord, thank you for the time being able to speak to these dear folks. Thank you for their attention. Thank you for preachers asking me to be here. Lord, I pray that you bless the word to our life. Help me, Lord, to be a faithful servant for you. And I pray, Lord, that when I meet you, maybe soon, that I'll have the opportunity face to face to thank you and give all the glory of my life to you. Thank you again for these dear folks. Help us, Lord, to fulfill the plan you have for us. Use us, O God, in this church. Help us to be a lighthouse to those around us. And as always, we'll always be careful to give you the honor and the glory, not puffed up in ourselves, but giving you all the glory for everything in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.